Did the Eakins thing shock you yesterday that it was going to transpire? Shock's too strong a word, but 2 weeks after, sort of an adamant defense of Dallas Eakins from Craig McTavish, this happens.
Well, first of all, guys, I'm shocked that I got all this food, so you're not coming to the backyard for weekend at my place.
It's right? Got to be better weather than 5 degrees, okay. Right? Yeah. And
I'd
rain.
I'd come if I actually believed you were inviting us. I really would.
Damn, he knows me. You know, even I talked to Dallas yesterday, and I mean, he wasn't shocked. Mm-hmm. And in fact, he sort of said he spent half the time consoling Craig McTavish when they chatted. You lose 15 out of 16, it's hard to keep your job in any league at any time, despite all that. I think Dallas Eakins is a great coach, and I think he was working for an organization that is so badly out of whack that it would be impossible for any coach to survive for very long. He'll coach again. I assume the Oilers will win again, but I don't know when that's going to be because, man, they are a mess. I keep saying I see similarities between them and the 1980s Leafs. And when you think about it, an owner who's a little wacky, a penchant for taking high picks and rushing them to the NHL as teenagers and then watching as they don't develop. You know, a lot of the same kind of things seem to be going on in Edmonton, including a constant turnover in management and coaching, so you never get any stability. And I think Dallas Eakins was a victim of that.
Yeah, I was going to say, even post-Ballard leaves, Damian, there have been bad results, there have been lean years and lean eras, but there has never been such a level of dysfunction. There hasn't been a top three pick, you know, since Scott Thornton in 1989 for the Leafs. So we're talking 25 years of never drafting the top three, and the Oilers do it every year.
Yeah, well, I mean, don't forget, they did earn their way to top three picks. They just traded them away in, what, 91 and 97, right? So we can't give them too much credit. But yeah, the thing about Edmonton that makes me a bit nuts, because I want to see the Oilers succeed. I think it's good for the NHL. I think it's good for that city. But, you know, it's more than just draft. It's draft and develop. And they've mastered the drafting in terms of calling out the names, but not developing and certainly not putting together a roster of different kinds of players. And we saw that when they decided to draft Nail Yakupov. There seems to be no nimbleness about the organization to think about things in a different way and use their resources to add all kinds of different players. Instead, they just draft guys and stick them in the NHL and cross their fingers, and it's not working.
Damian Cox, our guest, Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, our NHL and Sportsnet insider. Now, contrary to a lot of people, I actually don't mind Craig McTavish as a hockey mind. Say what you want about Eakins, say what you want about how Tambellini did his job or Kevin Lowe. Craig McTavish has been on the job for about a year and a half now. And it's really easy. I kind of chuckle, Damon. Everyone looks at this team, and it's really easy to point your finger and say how bad it is and how big of a disaster it is in Edmonton. And you're correct in doing so. But there's no solutions here. What should they do? What do they do? Is there a possibility of, and I don't know if Taylor Hall is that guy, but look what the Raptors did with Rudy Gay. They traded away one guy, and it seemed to spur a change.
Well, I mean, there are solutions. I mean, I keep saying it, but the problem is none of the solutions will help you win tonight or tomorrow or next week. For example, the first thing I do is I get Leon Draisaitl out of there, back to Germany for the World Juniors, back to junior, because I want to end that cycle of just sticking teenagers in the NHL. So that's point number one. I actively look to move one of the pieces of that core, because that core is not working and you need other elements in your game. You've got to find some goaltending. And sure, you've got to find a coach that's going to be able to work with this group. The challenge for Edmonton is there are no short-term solutions that lie in going out and recruiting players to come as free agents, because right now, because of the record and a number of other factors, free agents don't really want to play there, at least the ones you want. They did manage to get a few last summer, but they had to really overpay them, and they're not necessarily guys who are going to make a difference. So, you know, look, I think you could right now say, do you, and this is going to sound crazy, so I'm going to beat you to do it. You could say right now, do we want to trade the first pick in this year's draft? If somebody would throw a ton of stuff at you, would you look at it? You have to start looking at decisions. Craig McTavish, and I agree with you, I think he's a good hockey guy, he promised bold decisions, bold choices, bold moves when he took over. There have been no bold moves yet under Craig McTavish.
This was my idea. And again, anyone can go on a message board and put a trade possibility together. But you look at a team like, say, Damian Philly, who's going nowhere and can't seem to figure it out either. You give him Taylor Hall and your Connor McDavid chip and say, we want back Braden Schenn and Sean Couturier and Braden Coburn and Wayne Simmonds. I mean, it's the stuff of fantasy, but couldn't you see something like that actually coming to fruition?
I don't think it'll happen, but I agree with what you're saying, because it's all about, people treat it like a first overall pick is somehow sacrosanct. It cannot be touched. They're all assets, and it's about building a team. Now, I don't think this will happen, and I think it would be a really difficult trade to make because in a salary cap era, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I guess what I'm advocating is that kind of thinking, and whether it involves, you know, trading Taylor Hall or doing something else, and whether it's now or whether it's in the summer, what I'm advocating is saying, look, you've got to do more than just sit around and draft kids and hope. And I think there's indications that some of these kids aren't necessarily as good as you thought they were going to be.